At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome in to the New Orleans Pelicans podcast, the official podcast of your New Orleans Pelicans, a podcast dedicated to everything you need to know about the squad. Hear from players, coaches, broadcasters, and those who cover the NBA on a daily basis. It's time to flock up. The New Orleans Pelicans podcast starts right now.
There, so I mean, I do understand you're away from the regular folk down there below, but when you saw that this morning, it's a little strange because it's happening obviously early morning. There's still some commuting, but I'm listening to the national talk shows talking women's Final Four, and all of a sudden, right in mid sentence, they're like, was that an earthquake? And I'm sitting there looking at the radio, I'm like, what? Yeah, and sure enough, on the Twitter feed, there it is, it was in New Jersey.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I haven't really delved too much into it. I've been so locked in on the Pelicans playoff pursuit and race.
There it is.
But I guess I need to look into this more because I don't have a great feel for the whole situation.
Well, I get it. And I think the main reason, Jim, is because, ladies and gentlemen, your New Orleans Pelicans are in the postseason. Right? Right.
That's right. Top 10. As of the Houston Rockets losing. I think the key is, you know, I knew I didn't really make a big deal. I had mentioned this in a few things that I wrote, that their magic number was 1 to clinch being in the top 10. But I mean, honestly, like, I know this isn't something that people are going to be doing backflips over because the goal is much higher than that.
No doubt.
But I think the key is to, let's see if we can, over these next couple podcasts or even, you know, a week or so from now, if we can start checking off, like, okay, the worst they can finish is 10th. Okay, the worst they can finish now is 9th and 8th, 7th, and hopefully that they get to the point where you're in the top 6.
And look, I'm with you. I think that is interesting, right? In that we didn't get all excited last night. Like, you didn't see Twitter going, but I don't even think the Pels officially posted that they're at least guaranteed to play in. And I get that because obviously the goals are more. And let's be honest, they're on a current losing streak right now that needs to snap, right? Here in this final game of this homestand against San Antonio. But Jim, as it's our job to kind of look at it and look at it. And they're at least guaranteed that. Now, you don't want to be in the 9-10 win or go home play in. The teams right now that are there, Golden State and the Lakers, they're playing much better basketball. Mm-hmm. The reason the Pels are in and guaranteed, at least they play in, is because the Warriors beat the Rockets in Houston last night, 133-110. What are you seeing different with Golden State right now?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like just all of a sudden they've really clicked in. I feel like they've done a couple things, different things with their lineups. It seems like Klay Thompson was really good last night and has been a lot better lately. Andrew Wiggins has been playing better. I mean, Curry is always Steph Curry. But yeah, they've been on a roll. And so all of a sudden, unfortunately, even though not that long ago when we looked at the standings, we said pretty comfortable ahead of the Lakers and the Warriors. I mean, now it's really not that much of a gap. It's only a game and a half ahead of the Lakers and 3 ahead of the Warriors. So those are teams you have to worry about. And obviously you still play both of them. So as well as the Kings, who are 1 game behind New Orleans right now. So yeah, the Lakers 8-2 in their last 10, Golden State 7-3 in their last 10, but maybe more to the point, they've won 6 in a row, which is the longest winning streak in the NBA. So we've had a long stretch where I think a lot of times we focused on the teams ahead of the Pelicans in the standings. But right now, I mean, you definitely have to keep an eye in the rearview mirror and hope that you can get enough wins that those teams don't become a factor specific to you in the race as well.
Yeah, the Clippers last night, Jokic going for a game-winning 3 in LA. He missed. They lose 102-100. The Mavericks continue to play well. They went at home 109-95. Luka only had 25 in that game. They continue to win. The Kings did lose to the Knicks, and it was one of those weird nights where you actually wanted the Kings to win.
Yeah, short term. I think that was one of the funniest things I looked at going into yesterday, and I think I mentioned this on Twitter X yesterday morning that, I mean, neither of these things happened, but it is funny to think that if the Mavericks had lost last night and the Kings had won, there would have been a four-way tie with four teams all 45 and 31. And based on the crazy, complicated tiebreaker where it's head-to-head, mm-hmm. Pelicans would have been in fifth place all of a sudden. So it just kind of just shows you, I mean, does that mean much? Not really. With just a temporary footnote type thing, because obviously things are going to change every single time that there's a game played. But it just shows you how tight it is, that the fact that, I mean, the Pelicans are seventh right now, and depending on outcomes last night, they could have been up to fifth and sixth without playing a game. Part of that is because Sacramento is, if the Pelicans, of course you want Sacramento to lose, you want to finish ahead of Sacramento, but the thing that's kind of funny and ironic is that if somehow you finish tied with Sacramento and tied with someone else, you actually benefit a ton because you're 4-0 against the Kings so far. So when they throw all those tiebreakers together and they say combined record between these teams, the fact that New Orleans is, that's the reason why New Orleans could have moved up technically in the standings yesterday, because if the Kings had won, you would have had, it would have been a three-way tie between Suns, Pelicans, and Kings. So it's getting wild, Gus.
It's crazy. Look, we're going to talk with Madeline Adams. She is our guest from Fox 8 here. She was covering LSU and Iowa. Women's basketball is the topic right now. The Final Four tonight for them. What great games they got going on, and we'll get her thoughts as to what it was like, and also on the Pels here as well. One final thing, and of course, we've still got to do the trending numbers on a Friday, and then you have like weekend showdown of Palooza. You got not just one game, but several games. But so, just real quickly though, tonight's contest, because look, the Pels need to win. It doesn't matter big what time. The scoreboard thing is mm-hmm. right now. It's at the point where they have got to get a win.
Right.
Record wise, it says the Spurs are 18-58. Jim, you know better.
Yeah, I mean, they've been so much more competitive lately. I mean, one of the things I looked up, that a lot of people around the league had talked about this earlier in the season, that it was like people who want to see Wembanyama succeed and have the Spurs be more competitive, they were like, why is Trey Jones not starting? And the Spurs were 5-28 when he was coming off the bench. So at that point in the season when they finally decided to put him in the starting lineup, now they were way, I mean, as bad as the record is now, it was atrocious at that point. Now, the record since then hasn't been amazing either, but they've just been so much better team compared to the way that they looked earlier in the season. You know, obviously the Pelicans have gone 3-0 against them head-to-head, but the most recent game at the beginning of February, they needed a Zion Williamson end-to-end driving layup to win that game. And the Spurs have been a lot better, you know, they had a three-game winning streak, for example, recently. Wemby had a 40-20 game recently against the Knicks, a game that they won. And he had almost had a quadruple-double in the Spurs' most recent game Tuesday against Denver. So, I mean, they're a much better team. I mean, we should mention, too, as we record this, that Zion is still questionable with the finger injury that he had. Jose Alvarado, Brandon Ingram are both out. The Spurs have actually shut down a couple guys for the rest of the season. So, yes, they've been more competitive over the last couple months, but a couple pieces to that, Jeremy Sochan and Devin Vassell are both out for the season with injuries. They basically were shut down. Keldon Johnson, who's another one of their veteran guys, is questionable to play tonight. So a lot of question marks as far as what we're going to see. Chetty Osman is out for them. He started a bunch of games lately, so they've been more competitive, but it's also a different variation of the team that's been on the court in recent weeks.
All right, let's bring in Madeline Adams and get her opinions and thoughts when it comes to women's basketball and your New Orleans Pelicans.
Last couple months, but a couple pieces to that, Jeremy Sochan and Devin Vassell are both out for the season with injuries. They basically were shut down. Keldon Johnson, who's another one of their veteran guys, is questionable to play tonight, so a lot of question marks as far as what we're going to see. Chetty Osman is out for them. He started a bunch of games lately. So they've been more competitive, but it's also a different variation of the team that's been on the court in recent weeks.
All right, let's bring in Madeline Adams and get her opinions and thoughts when it comes to women's basketball and your New Orleans Pelicans.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, time now to welcome in our guest today, Miss Madeline Adams at Madeline Adams TV. Is the way to give a follow over on X. You can see her on Fox 8. We always enjoy when you give us a little bit of your time. Madeline, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you today?
Doing well. Madeline, obviously you got to enjoy in person the experience of upstate New York in March, which I was jealous of. I wish I could be there. But, I mean, you got to cover the previous rounds with LSU women's basketball playing in Albany, New York. What was it like just to be able to be there for, I mean, to watch them play a couple games and also to be there, I think, for really a bit, if you look at the TV numbers and the ratings, I mean, one of the biggest matchups of the year in the entire sports world with LSU and Iowa.
Yeah, well, first of all, Albany was great. I'm just glad it did not snow. It had snowed right before we got there and then right after we left. So I'm glad it was just, you know, mere 40 degrees. It was bearable weather. So Albany was beautiful. And then, yeah, obviously the basketball was incredible. Just the way that women's basketball has grown over the past couple of years, it was must-see TV. And obviously, like you mentioned it, 12.3 million people tuned into that LSU-Iowa game. And that is the most watched women's basketball game ever. And what's crazy, that game broke the previous record, which was the LSU-Iowa National Championship game. 9.9 million people tuned in. So it's just really incredible to see the way that the sport has grown. And truly, I mean, that was a game, I mean, it was so watched because there were so many big names playing in that game. When you think of, obviously, Iowa's Caitlin Clark, LSU's Angel Reese, Flaje Johnson. I mean, these are some of the players that are making the most NIL money in the country when it comes to student athletes. And so, I mean, you have like the biggest stars who are in commercials, they're on billboards, they're just kind of everywhere you look in the sports world going head to head. And man, I mean, that atmosphere was absolutely incredible. I can tell you, it did not feel like an Elite Eight game. Crazy that this game has to be played in the Elite Eight round. I wish it would have been able to have been saved for the Final Four because it felt like that kind of game. It felt like a Final Four game, felt like a national championship. There was not an empty seat in that arena. And it was just the atmosphere was absolutely incredible. I was obviously there last year when LSU and Iowa played the national championship game. That atmosphere was incredible as well, but it almost like this one had more buildup, had more anticipation, and was almost a better matchup. Crazy that it was just an Elite Eight game.
What's incredible, too, is it wasn't just the pinnacle, because a lot of people were wondering, man, if the attention's kind of going to go away or not from there. As we sit here on the eve here this Friday morning, later tonight, the Final Four is going to be played twice as expensive. Women's Final Four tickets to men's Final Four tickets, Madeline. And there is so much anticipation in the storylines in the Final Four. You talk about Caitlin Clark. Hey, UConn didn't even call me. And they get to play tonight there. The USC, South Carolina is what I mean by that. They're undefeated. Can NC State do the upset there? Or is the Gamecocks have unfinished business? I mean, it's just there's so many storylines. And it's crazy this morning, Madeline, when I drive home, I was about to tell Jim this before we got started. I dropped the kid off, and I always listen to the national show, see what's going on. Every single national show at 8:30 this morning was starting with or talking about women's Final Four. And that's incredible when you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, and I didn't know if it was just because I was covering, you know, the women's side of the NCAA tournament that it just felt like there was more talk about that. But obviously being on social media, listening to the national media shows and everything like that, it is clear that this women's tournament is gaining more attention and attraction than the men's side of the tournament, which is really, really cool. I mean, yeah, you mentioned it. The tickets for that LSU-Iowa game in Albany, the cheapest ticket you could get the day of was like $120, but there were tickets going for $2,500. When you just think about, you know, how much the sport has grown, the fact that tickets are that expensive, people are willing to pay that kind of money to see just these stellar athletes face off and go head to head. Yeah, I mean, look, these matchups are far from over. I think the women's game will only grow. The cool thing, and I think Haley Van Lith had mentioned this after that LSU-Iowa game, she's like, you know, the cool thing about rivalries is you continue to play each other. LSU and Iowa will see each other again And I can only imagine, obviously, Caitlin Clark won't be there. Angel Reese won't be there. They're both moving on to the WNBA. But the buildup and anticipation for these games is only going to grow and build. And that's going to be really cool to see. And then, yeah, we have a great slate of games tonight. When you talk about NC State going up against South Carolina, you know, just the kind of NC State, the team that's not really supposed to be there, the surprise team, you know, I don't know if you could call them a Cinderella story, but obviously going up against, you know, unbeaten, top-ranked South Carolina, that's a great storyline there. And then, yeah, when you get to watch Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers go head-to-head, that'll be an incredible game as well. And then who knows? Obviously, if Iowa and South Carolina both make it to the national championship game, I have a feeling that game broadcast-wise will do crazy numbers as well. So it's going to be a really, really fun weekend for women's college basketball.
You know, Madeline, you mentioned the NIL aspect of this. I think one of the things that's really interesting, and I'm definitely not the first person to notice this or comment on this, is I think one of the things that makes the women's game in 2024 more compelling in a lot of ways is that on the men's side, a lot of the top players, they might get NIL money, but they're getting it for 1 year, and then it feels like they're just kind of passing through. Whereas, you know, on the women's side, you have a chance to develop some familiarity with the players, and you have even Caitlin Clark, who's one of the best players we've ever seen, be at her school for multiple years. It feels like on the men's side, you're kind of denied that because a Caitlin Clark comparable player on the men's side would definitely not be in college for a sophomore year. So, I mean, how much of an impact do you think that's made as far as, you know, with the storylines and the attention? It just seems like there's just more. I mean, even the ability to have a rematch or a revenge game between two teams is not possible when you have players that, like I said, are just kind of passing through on the men's side.
Yeah, Jim, I'm glad you brought that up because I think that has a huge impact on the women's game because obviously the way that the fans connect, they get to know players, they get to know their style of play, and they just support them. And obviously the longer that a player is at a university or in women's college basketball at the collegiate level, the more that fans can kind of get to know them, connect with them, and support them and tune in to games and stuff like that. And so, yeah, you think about all that Caitlin Clark has accomplished in college, right? I don't think there's a record that she hasn't broken. That wouldn't have been possible if she just stayed one or two years in college and moved on. And so I think the buildup, the attention surrounding Caitlin Clark is because people, even if you're a casual college basketball fan, you know how many records Caitlin Clark has broken. That wouldn't have been possible if she just stayed at Iowa for 2 years and then went on to the WNBA. And so, yeah, I think, you know, this new attention for women's basketball, obviously NIL is part of it, but that's because fans are getting so familiar and being able to connect with these athletes for more than 1 or 2 years. They're staying home for 5, 6 years because of that COVID year that has kind of played a part the last few seasons. But yeah, I mean, college basketball fans are able to connect and see these players for more than 1 or 2 years. They're able to watch them grow, you know, whether it's at one university for 4 years or just in the collegiate level for 4 or 5 years. And I think that has just made a deeper connection between the fans of college basketball and the players of college basketball. And I think that's a great point in terms of how much the sport has been able to grow, not only with NIL, but just players staying in the collegiate level longer and fans being able to connect with them over the years.
You mentioned that Angel Reese obviously is headed to the WNBA, something that she announced a couple days ago. Coincidentally, she was at the Pelicans game on Wednesday against Orlando and got a really big ovation when they put her up on the scoreboard above the court. From covering LSU, I mean, what were some of your takeaways from just the way that they reacted to the season being ending? Was it this kind of thing where they were like, you know, you got to tip your cap to Iowa and Caitlin Clark for just how great of a player she was? Is that kind of the way that they, in general, kind of reacted to that game and the season coming to an end?
Yeah, for sure. And I, you know, it was really cool to see Angel at the Pelicans game. Really cool to see her talking with Swin Cash as well. I know Swin probably gave her some really great advice about the transition from college basketball to the WNBA. Obviously, Swin had great careers at both the college level and the pro level. But yeah, when it comes to LSU and Iowa, I think honestly, I mean, obviously, Angel Reese still had a great game in that game, but Caitlin Clark, dropped 41 points. And I think if you look at the national championship game from last year and this game this year, what happened last year was Caitlin Clark still got 30 points, but the rest of Iowa didn't get over 13 points. There was no other Iowa Hawkeye player that scored over 13 points. So it was really just Caitlin Clark, and LSU made sure to limit and contain the rest of her teammates. This year, Kate Martin, I think, had over 20 points. And Caitlin really got a lot of help from her teammates this year. And obviously, when Caitlin drops 41 points, that helps as well. So, yeah, I think LSU understands, like, look, Caitlin Clark is a generational player. They had a lot of respect for her throughout the week. And, yeah, it was just one of those things where, you know, LSU was going to have to play a close to perfect game defensively and offensively. And I just think in that third quarter when their shots weren't falling, they were getting open looks, they were getting open layups, they just weren't falling in. I think that's when obviously the tide kind of turned and Iowa was just more effective and they executed well the entire game. And LSU just kind of hit a shooting slump in that third quarter and that really kind of made the difference. And, yeah, I mean, I think this is just Iowa, obviously, I think they denied that it was a revenge game. Obviously, last year, after knocking off South Carolina, Iowa felt probably like last year was their year. Last year was their best shot. And LSU took that away from them because LSU played a perfect game. Jasmine Carson played her best game of the tournament. And I think when I look back at LSU's journey last season in the postseason, they really did just kind of play however they needed to play against that opponent to make it throughout the NCAA tournament. They really played their best basketball, whether it was, hey, they need to, you know, play their best defensive game in this game, or they need to, you know, go off and score 100 points against Iowa. They did what they needed to do last NCAA tournament. And I don't think they had that kind of luck this go round, especially like I mentioned, just kind of that third quarter against Iowa. So, yeah, I mean, it was, they knew that they were going to have a close to perfect game. And when that third quarter just kind of didn't go their way, you do have to just kind of tip your cap to Iowa and Caitlin Clark.
Our final question, Madeline, has to do with the New Orleans Pelicans. Tonight, they go into the game against the Spurs knowing they're in. Look, thanks to the Rockets unable to get a victory last night. I'm not going to thank the Golden State Warriors, but the Rockets didn't win. So there's not enough games for them to make up the separation from where the Pels are in 7th and the Rockets are in 11th. So at the very least, they are in and secured a play-in spot. That's obviously not what this team wants. Madeline, what do you think of the final 6 games here for this team?
You know, I feel good. You know, obviously when you kind of looked at these last like 10, 15 games this season earlier, you know, a couple months ago, you were like, man, that is a tough stretch. But then I started looking at every, you know, other team and their schedules. It feels like everyone has a tough stretch these last few games of the season. So it's not like the Pelicans are alone in that. I think if they go 4-2, they'll be good. Obviously, the goal for this team has always been to make it into a top 6 spot. They are tired of the play-in tournament. I completely understand why they would be tired of the play-in tournament after last year. And yeah, I mean, obviously tonight, this is a game that you have to win. You're on a 3-game losing streak on your home court tonight against a struggling San Antonio Spurs team. This is a game you have to win. There's just no doubt about it. And then obviously you just kind of look at the rest of these games. You have an uber important game on Sunday against the Phoenix Suns. That game is on balance. It'll be huge when it comes to postseason standings. And obviously, I mean, you just kind of hate to look ahead, but you've got those games against Portland, Sacramento, Golden State, and then LA. All of those teams fighting for, especially when you think of, you know, Golden State and Los Angeles, all those teams fighting for postseason ground and fighting for just to make sure to secure a play-in spot. And so, I mean, everybody's fighting for something right now. And obviously the Pelicans, I think if, like I said, if they go 4-2, they'll be pretty good. I think they have a chance to grab that 6th spot. But man, this is one of the funnest times of the NBA season when everybody's just fighting for postseason control. And man, we'll have some really important games coming up and I can't wait to see what happens.
Madeline Adams, as always, appreciate the time. Thank you so much. And let's see what happens tonight in the women's Final 4 and also Pelicans taking on the Spurs. Thank you.
Thanks, Gus and Jim. Y'all have a great one.
Thanks, Madeline.
At Madeline Adams TV is the way to give a follow over on X and, of course, over on Fox 8. Thank you, Madeline. Appreciate the time.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on. Y'all
appreciate it.
You too.
You too.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
All right, our thanks to Madeline Adams, as always, appreciate the time that she gives us. And again, I wish I could have been at that LSU-Iowa game. It'd be funny. I wouldn't mind seeing the Final Four in person. I just don't tell Graf. I am going to pay attention to tonight's game, but I am glad we have multiple televisions in the studio downstairs.
You know, it's funny. I think there are a lot of people. I talked to a lot of people who said, Jim, don't be offended. You know, don't. Judge me too much on this, but I kind of was watching more of the Iowa LSU game than the Pelicans Suns game, which was going on at the same time. And I know in the media section, we had a couple TVs up and people were definitely watching that. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Monday was a rough night for Louisiana basketball because while Caitlin Clark was doing the 40 point damage that she did, Devin Booker had the 52 points. So it was a memorable night for college basketball, and a lot of people tuned into that game. Unfortunately, it wasn't the best results for the Pelicans and for the Tigers either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, looking forward to it. All right, Friday we like to do trending numbers and weekend showdown. What do you have for the trending number?
Yeah, the trending number is 2, and there's actually multiple reasons for why I picked 2. In the 11 games that Brandon Ingram has missed this season, and obviously Friday night is going to be number 12 on that list, there's only been 2 times out of the 11 that the Pelicans have played against a team with a losing record. Mm-hmm. So 9 of the 11 games they've played against quality teams, 500 or better. The 2 games that he's missed against teams with losing records were both against Detroit. So just kind of a random fact. And also, the Pelicans have only played 2 games all season without both Zion and Ingram. Now, obviously, I hope that we all hope that Zion plays tonight, but if not, this would be the third time, this season that they haven't had both of those guys. If you compare that to last season, that's a drastic improvement because there was long stretches last year where they didn't have either player. So the 2 games that the Pelicans have played without both of their starting forwards, they beat Detroit on November 2nd, and then they won in Dallas on January 13th. So could be interesting to see. This would be hopefully it won't be, but this will be the third opportunity that the Pelicans have if Zion is unable to play and they're playing against the Spurs. So adding a little bit to it's totally coincidental, but it's just kind of been bad luck and misfortune that a lot of the games that Brandon Ingram has missed this year have been against, you know, some of the best teams in the league. They're 3-6 at home in the games that he's missed, but obviously the competition in that has been really tough, and they're 4-0 on the road. So trending number is 2 for more reasons than 1.
Weekend showdown. Can I just say, I'll save you the time. Every game. Watch every game. It doesn't matter. Yeah. But you have specific games that you want to keep in
mind. Yeah, I went with... I had this crossed out on my list several times because I kept changing my mind. I mean, there's a Minnesota Phoenix game tonight that you could have put down for the weekend showdown, but I went with Houston at Dallas on Sunday at 2:30 p.m. And the reason I picked that is something that we've detailed before in recent shows, that this is Dallas's last division game. So if they win on Sunday against the Rockets, they will clinch the tiebreaker on New Orleans, which could be a factor that comes into play. The Pelicans' last division game is tonight against the Spurs. So really the only way that the Pelicans can win the tiebreaker eventually on Dallas is if they beat the Spurs tonight and Dallas loses on Sunday to the Rockets. So a game to keep an eye on. And Houston right now is 38-38. That their loss last night, as we mentioned earlier, means that the Pelicans will definitely be no worse than a play-in team. And Dallas is 46-30. They're 1 game ahead of the Pelicans. So even if you set aside the tiebreaker aspect of it, it could be a huge game in terms of the Pelicans maybe being able to catch them in the standings and hopefully surpass them, even if they don't have the tiebreaker. Another game, too, Friday that I'll mention is Golden State at Dallas is another really significant game. The Mavericks have a chance to try to end the Warriors' 6-game winning streak. Mm-hmm. Those are 2 of the hottest teams in the league over the last couple weeks. The Mavericks just had their only, if you think about it, the only loss those 2 teams have had recently was Dallas losing to Golden State. So an interesting game on Friday at 7:30. But I think the biggest game in terms of implications is going to be Houston at Dallas on Sunday at 2:30.
That's right, because you keep saying the division thing. That's why tonight's kind of a big game. Just letting you know.
Yeah, I think every game is important right now. I mean, and I never picked the Pelicans in the weekend showdown, but I mean, if you look at the Western Conference overall, if you were looking at this right. from the outside, you would say the weekend showdown is Sunday against Phoenix. So, yeah, definitely huge implications in all these games.
We're going to be at the Bayou Beer Garden for an official Pelicans watch party on Sunday as well, Jim. So feel free to stop on by, say some hi to us, and hopefully we'll watch that game. They all matter.
Yeah, and it's crazy that we're down to six, and I mean, there's so much at stake.
By the time we talk again on Monday here on this podcast, sir, we'll be down to four. Right. It'll be a final week of the regular season. That's it. There'll be, three more games left
on that road trip.
And then the Lakers. Final game. You know that. You see, I was hoping that nothing really mattered on that.
I wanted to have a nice, relaxing Sunday afternoon. Get ready for the playoffs.
You know it's going to matter, right? It's going to be like the most important game of all time for the Pelicans on that Sunday.
It could be. You know what, Gus? I don't even want to think about all the possible permutations of what that game could mean. I mean, it could be apocalyptic. If you look at how tight the records are and how close everybody is, I mean, that could be. I don't even want to get into it. Let's just wait and see
how
things develop.
If there's a chance to break the Herb Jones 16 seconds into a game foul record that was set against Orlando just a couple days ago, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It would be that Sunday. It would be that Sunday.
I thought you were going to say that he broke his record in the in-season tournament semifinal because I think he had a couple in the first quarter of that game, if I recall.
But not in 16 seconds. Right, look, I'm just going to say this. We've seen it before. Hasn't Jonas Valanciunas, I think it was the Memphis game, right, when they scored like at the buzzer, and then wasn't it in overtime on the tip? Jonas got called for a foul.
Probably, yeah.
On the way up, like the clock hadn't started.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's good vibes. Let's do some good vibes. We'll see you on Monday on the New Orleans Pelicans podcast. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, Gus.
Thanks for listening to the New Orleans Pelicans podcast. Join us three times per week on Pelicans.com, the Pelicans mobile app, the iHeartRadio app, or where you get your podcast. And be sure to give Jim and Gus a follow on X at Jim_Eichenhofer and GCAT_17. We'll see you next time, right here on the New Orleans Pelicans podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.